A True North exclusive reveals a trans military chaplain has been suspended over an alleged sexual groping comment.
The ArriveCan app contractor testified before the House of Commons on Wednesday as the RCMP executed a search warrant of his office.
The tech sector slams the Liberals' capital gains tax hike as, quote, irreparable harm. Hello, Canada. It's Thursday, April 18th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm Noah Jarvis.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. A Royal Military College chaplain who was hailed by the Canadian military as an LGBTQ champion on Transgender Day of Visibility has been suspended following an alleged groping request. The Department of National Defense confirmed to True North that Captain Beatrice Gale had her chaplaincy revoked and was found to have violated military rules in a summary hearing because of an inappropriate comment or request to another individual. Gale was born a biological male but identifies as a woman. DND spokesperson André-Anne Houlin told True North, quote, "This incident stems from an inappropriate comment or request to another individual. Neither member was in a position of authority over the other." Gale received a relatively minor service infraction. On April 3rd, Gale was found to have violated the Queen's regulations and orders, which govern military conduct and affairs. The specific service infraction was for somebody who otherwise behaves in a manner that adversely affects the discipline, efficiency, or morale of the Canadian Forces. Chaplains at the Royal Military College offer spiritual and religious care for CAF members as well as cadets studying at the institution. Part of their role includes facilitating religious services and counseling members seeking advice on religious, ethical, or moral issues. The types of problems chaplains deal with include grief, addiction, suicidal thoughts, abuse, and family problems. DND said Gale was disciplined with 2 days of docked pay and the removal of 20 days of leave. Gale is now on administrative duties but remains at the college. One source familiar with the incident, who chose to remain anonymous over fears of personal and professional retaliation, alleged that Gale had become intoxicated during a dinner in the mess hall and asked to grope a male lieutenant's buttocks. True North reached out to Gale for an opportunity to comment, but did not receive a response. So, Noah, this individual was pretty much championed by the military as an example of, you know, LGBTQ inclusion in the Army and how accepting the CAF is. And when you actually look at the timeline, they put out a glowing sort of article profile of Captain Gale on Transgender Day of Visibility on the 28th. And it was only a few days later that the service hearing found that Gale had committed this infraction. So they must have been aware when they were writing this, or the military must have already been investigating this incident, because it's a matter of 7 days. And I'm sure these things take quite a bit of time to actually get all the evidence and the testimonies and your facts straight. And they also did a profile. They dedicated a whole production, a little video documentary about Gale's life and transition from male to female. Do you think they'll prominently feature Gale in future communications? Because they haven't taken down those profiles. They're still up.
I would hope not, Cosmin. I mean, making comments like that is just completely unacceptable, especially when you're in the military and you're supposed to act and behave as one concise unit. And, you know, you're trying to seek services and religious care from a chaplain. That must be difficult, going to see a chaplain and being treated that way. And I would hope that the Canadian Armed Forces doesn't promote those types of people when trying to advertise and trying to get people to join the Canadian Armed Forces. I mean, the Canadian Armed Forces, they've already dealt with issues pertaining to sexual misconduct. There has been many widely publicized sorts of events with the Canadian Armed Forces when it comes to allegations in this sort of arena. And I hope that is something that improves. It is one of the areas of improvement that the Canadian Armed Forces needs to work on. And I would just hope that, the Canadian Armed Forces isn't prioritizing wokeness, isn't prioritizing trying to promote transgenderism and trying to recruit transgender Canadians over the integrity of the Canadian Armed Forces and just the protection and safety of all of our servicemen and women. So I think that the story shows that there are some great concerns, and I would hope that this person does not promoted by the Canadian Armed Forces. In fact, they should be disciplined and treated just like any other member of the forces. But do you think that there's any hope for improvement in the Canadian Armed Forces, Cosman? Because I mean, stories like this is becoming more and more frequent. You break a lot of these stories from other publications like this that are broken all the time. So, what do you think of of this story? Do you think there's any hope for the Canadian Armed Forces going forward, or is this just going to become another dying institution that is rife with these unsavory allegations?
Well, look, I think one of the major issues is that the military has been politicized, and a lot of this stuff is coming from the top down. It's coming directly from the Ministry of Defense. It's the liberal ministers that are pushing the military in this direction, whether the rank and file like it or not. And the other issue is the double standard that's employed here. I spoke to a defense lawyer for this story, and he made a very apt comment that if this incident involved a male making an inappropriate comment to a female, it would have been all over the news. It would have been leaked by somebody within the military. But in this case, I had so much trouble getting the Department of National Defense to finally admit that this happened. I spent a whole week talking to the ministry and trying to get information on this, and they stonewalled me every step of the way. They refused to provide documents. They refused to provide a charge report. They refused to confirm any details until finally I had some credible sources and I went to them and gave them an ultimatum and said, look, if you do not correct these allegations or confirm or deny, we're going to publish this story based on what we're hearing. And they finally had no other choice but to confirm that something did happen. So until this double standard gets rectified and military service members know that if something happens and they report it, it gets treated like any other incident would, and people don't get a special status just because they identify some way, then I don't think these issues will be fixed.
The RCMP confirmed it executed a search warrant of the office of an ArriveCan app contractor on Tuesday as a partner with GC Strategies was brought before the House of Commons to answer questions from MPs on the scandal. The police agency did not name the company. However, the search was conducted at a location formerly listed as a GC Strategies mailing address in Woodlawn, Ontario. An RCMP spokesperson said the search was not connected to the ongoing investigation into ArriveCan. GC Strategies partner Christian Firth was brought before the House of Commons to answer questions from MPs on Tuesday, marking the first time such a measure has taken place since 1913. Conservative MP Michael Barrett had asked Firth to confirm if his office had been searched by the RCMP. He responded that it had, but that the search was in relation to allegations made by Bottler AI, an IT firm not connected to the ArriveCan contract. Bottler's co-founder, Amir Morv, raised concerns with the government about his resume being altered by GC Strategies without his consent for bids for other contracts. Morv claimed that GC Strategies may be practicing ghost contracting, a scheme which involves billing the government for work done by subcontractors that might not have actually taken place. These allegations were denied by Firth on Wednesday, who said he is prepared for the RCMP investigation, which he believes will prove GC Strategies' innocence. Firth was unanimously found in contempt of Parliament by MPs for his refusal to answer questions before the House Government Operations last month and was brought in for a second appearance to answer follow-up questions. The Auditor General released a report that the ArriveCan project cost estimated $60 million, in part due to the government's heavy use of contractors like GC Strategies. The report also noted that GC Strategies was involved in developing the requirements for the contract. Canada's procurement ombudsman also released a report which found that the contract criteria were, quote, overly restrictive in a way that, quote, heavily favored GC Strategies. So, Cosmin, with every passing month, it seems like this ArriveCan GC Strategies scandal gets bigger. I mean, the initial figure for the cost of ArriveCan was 54 million. Now it's at 60 million in just wasted taxpayer revenue, even though this app could have been developed for a lot less money in the hundreds of thousands. Yet the government had paid 60 million for this, and it seems like there was some strange things going on with the GC Strategies owners. They have been ducking and dodging Parliament as much as possible, though Parliament did get Firth in the door and got him to answer some questions. So where do you think this scandal goes from here, Cosmin? Do you believe that justice will be met? Do you believe that the Canadian taxpayer will be reimbursed for these services? Where do you believe it goes from here, Cosmin?
Well, look, I think a lot of people are forgetting a crucial element of this, and that's that the ArriveCan application was a total failure. I mean, just look back to when the government employed this thing, and they essentially employed it to enforce their overreaching vaccine mandates. And ArriveCan had all sorts of problems. It was glitchy, it sent vaccinated people into quarantine. It was a total failure from every single aspect, including the technical aspect. So, to pay $60 million for something that doesn't work properly, it's just astounding. And what about the oversight? Where were the government officials monitoring this thing and signing those invoices that went to GC Strategies and other contractors? Did they not start raising any questions when the bill reached 1 million? When it passed 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, at what point of the way were people starting to scratch their heads and say, hey, this doesn't make sense? We're paying for an application that is buggy, it doesn't work properly, and it's costing taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. It's just astounding. And it seems like this government has such a bad time tracking what it's spending money on. It's losing money left and right, where they're just bleeding taxpayer dollars at this point. And any opportunist who is savvy enough to work the government system can cash out.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The Liberal government's 2024 federal budget has sent shockwaves through Canada's tech sector, with sweeping increases to capital gains taxes being the main cause for concern. Leaders within the industry are voicing criticism at the Liberals, suggesting that further taxation could drive businesses and talent south of the border. The budget delivered by Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland raises the inclusion rate for capital gains tax from 50% to 66% for individuals on amounts exceeding $250,000. The amendments to the Income Tax Act will come into effect on June 25th, 2024. The Liberals expect to make $19.4 billion over the next 5 years from raising the capital gains tax. Benjamin Bergen, president of the Council of Canadian Innovators, explained in his organization's response to the budget that the best way for the government to boost its revenue is to drive economic growth and productivity gains by helping Canada's innovators. Bergen said, quote, "We hope that Minister Freeland and the Liberal government will listen to innovators and adjust this proposed tax hike before they do irreparable harm to the Canadian innovation economy. If they do not, it may be too late," warned Bergen. So, Noah, we've seen the Liberal government justify this, followed by, some of the legacy media, because they're always on board with what the Liberals do. And they're saying, oh, we're only going after the super rich. And what this is, it is a wealth tax. They're trying to tax people who are earning income by investing. But I don't think it's necessarily only the super rich, because as this article points out, there's companies, startups, and companies that are involved in innovative new technology that are going to suffer from this, and they're going to consider their options. So what's really going on here, Noah? Do we believe the liberals in how they're framing this, or is there more to this?
Well, the liberals, they would like to frame these tax hikes as, not affecting the middle class whatsoever. These are only tax hikes on the rich, and, don't we all just support taxing the rich, right? That's sort of how the liberals are going to frame this, and I reject that framing because when you increase taxes, especially on wealth creators, you're not going to end up with good economic outcomes. You're just going to end up taxing the people who are driving investment, driving productivity, driving economic growth. You're going to drive them out of the country. And if they don't leave the country, you're still not incentivizing them to realize their capital gains, which slows down the velocity with which people are able to invest and reinvest their money. For example, if you are a sound, logical businessman, you're going to wait for a time in which the capital gains tax rate comes down, and then you're going to realize your gains. So if you're, say, invested in Metro right now, you're going to be a lot more weary of realizing your gains than you would, say, a couple of days ago, because of the capital gains increase, which means that, if, say, Metro is not being as productive and you can invest that money into a startup or to another company that is more deserving of your money, then you just probably won't do that. And that obviously has negative economic effects. So I think when Freeland and Trudeau, they get up on, their stage, or in par they stand up in Parliament, and they say, "Oh, these are just tax increases for the ultra wealthy. Middle class Canadians have nothing to worry about." I think that's completely dishonest. I think that these sorts of tax hikes have effects on the middle class. It means there's going to be less jobs for the middle class. It means that the products that the middle class try to buy are going to be more expensive, because corporations and wealthy individuals, they don't just absorb hits to their wealth. They pass that cost on to the consumer. And the government, they probably should know this. They have a whole lot of economists working for the government of Canada, I would assume, but it seems as if they just couldn't, wrap their heads around this one. But they're just doing this to increase government revenues because they just are addicted to spending. The Liberal government's crack is government spending. They just can't get enough of it. So they need to do anything in their power to bring in more revenue. This is maybe something that's going to bring in more revenue. Perhaps it'll have the opposite effect because it scares away investment, therefore actually decreasing the amount of taxes that the government can pull in. But even if they pull in more money, it's not going to be worth the negative economic implications that this has on the economy in an already high tax environment.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.